Now, I want to remind you, brethren, that we have come to preach the kingdom of God. Amen. We are not coming to set up a kingdom. We are coming to proclaim a kingdom.
Yes.
Jesus has already established this kingdom.
Yes.
Amen. It is not a kingdom run by man, the headship of man, or any such thing. Amen.
Yes.
It is not a visible kingdom that you will see with observation, but it is a kingdom that will be built within the very innermost part of your being. And this is the kingdom of God that we are here to proclaim. We want to welcome Brother Burke this morning.
Praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord? I mean, you really need to say it like you mean it. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
God is indeed good.
Yes, amen.
I hope, I was told that we didn't need a translator. I hope that is the case, because I kind of talk a little fast. I get going. I'm like a coffee pot sometimes, you know. You know what a coffee pot is? You set it on the stove and you turn the fire on and it goes poop, poop. And the hotter it gets, the faster it goes, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Coffee pot on the stove, right? Well, that's a little like the Holy Ghost. And the closer we get to the fire, the closer we get in the unction and the anointing, or the closer to God, sometimes the faster it goes. So I hope that you are able to understand what I am saying. Praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
I like group participation. You can say, praise the Lord, or you can say, oh me. However it strikes you. It's either praise the Lord or oh, woe is me. Whatever way it hits you, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You were singing a song earlier this morning. The song was, oh brethren, can't you hear the trumpet sound? Praise the Lord. Before I say that or get into that, I want to just give you a little of my background, if I might, so that you might know who I am.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Not in the flesh, but in the spirit. But I'm going to tell you some of my natural roots. Hallelujah. I have a total of 7 children. And I have probably 19 grandchildren. So I know what it is to raise children. Praise the Lord. I was inducted in the service of God more than 30 some years ago. I was a little country boy out in California of the United States, out in what we call a peach tree orchard. But somehow, some way, God found me way back there, all the way out there in California, called me, anointed me, saved my soul, filled me with the Holy Ghost, and then put me in boot camp. Do you know what boot camp is? Huh? When you go into the army, they put you into training. That's what boot camp is, training. And they just completely do everything they possibly can do so that you learn to follow orders. Amen? You know what I mean? So for 30 years, I've been learning to follow orders. And you know, I think I'm finally getting the idea. I think after all of these years, I'm finally getting the idea. I have to listen and I have to obey. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I have been 30-some years in the gospel of the kingdom. I didn't say the gospel of the church. I'm talking about the theology or the gospel that Jesus Christ was proclaiming when He came. And that gospel, we were singing about it this morning, says, "Oh, brethren, don't you hear a trumpet sound?" Bringing what?
Liberty.
Huh? Liberty. Do you understand what liberty is? How many of you want liberty? Want liberty? Well, I want to tell you the good news. Jesus is bringing the gospel of liberty. Hallelujah. He's bringing the gospel, and if you can hear with your spiritual ears, and you can see with your spiritual eyes, you will have a tool by which you might be able to utilize and set yourself at liberty. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Maybe you are satisfied with who you are or what you are, but quite frankly, I am not satisfied with me, because I have fears, I have frustrations, I have personal traits like anger or depression or all of these things that would tempt me out in the world. All of these things have something of a hold on my soul. And God says that I have the power to be loosed from that position of bondage. So it is contingent upon whether or not you are listening and you desire to have the liberty that God wants to give you. Praise the Lord. It says, "Oh, brethren, can't you hear the trumpet sound?" Do you know the trumpet is not necessarily one of those horns that are blowing? Did you know that? The trumpet is a message. There in Revelations were what? Seven trumpets?
Yes.
There were seven trumpets that were sounding in the book of Revelations, and every time they sounded, they brought a word. They brought a releasing of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is the gospel that we are preaching. You know, I never thought when I heard this news about the kingdom of God and the desire that God had in that He wanted sons.
Yes.
Amen.
He doesn't want members. Hello? He doesn't want members of an organization or a congregation. He wants multi-membered sons.
Amen.
Sons. And it's going to take all of us coming together in God in order to manifest the fullness of what God is. Hello? You have a piece of God. You have a piece of God. You have a piece of God. This child has a piece of God. Every one of us have something of God in us.
Amen.
That if we can begin to loose it in the realm of our flesh or our soul, it will generate more of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when we come together, there is a fullness, there is a magnifying, a multiplication of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The God in me is not enough to do what needs to be done in this hour without the God that is in you. Hallelujah.
That's right.
And so therefore, God is bringing a message. God is bringing a word to the church in this hour that is designed to bring us into a position or a place of liberty. Hallelujah. You know, in order for us to understand that concept, we really have to go back to the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 1. You know, you're going to have to get a board or something. We're going to have to get a board and put it up here with a sheet of paper or something. We don't have to do it now. We don't have to do it now. We can do it later. But we need a board that we can draw on. Hallelujah. Let us go back into Genesis. No, let us not work on the board now. I'm just putting that out there so I don't forget it. I need you to pay attention to what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And if you feel like you're going to fall asleep, stand up. I want nobody going to sleep in my service. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So here we have God in the beginning creating the things that we call the world. Hallelujah. But first and foremost, before the world was created, there was God. And the Bible says they that worship God must worship God in what? And spirit. Hallelujah. In spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Now, in order to worship Him, first and foremost, we have to know that this is a spiritual being that has a spiritual existence and lives in a spiritual plane. Do you understand that? So, if we are to be like Him, then we have to ascend from where we are to where He is. We are created in the natural, as natural human beings in a natural environment, but we are designed to become a position or to have a position in a spiritual realm, in a spiritual plane.
Amen.
Are you following me?
Amen.
Are you understanding me?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Listen, you know, you should be getting excited. Because I'm opening up an avenue by which you can move from this earthly realm that holds us into a place of subjection and bondage, into a realm to where you can have the power and authority is in God, if God is in you, doing what God designed you to do. Now, this is not some sort of thing that I have in my mind that you would call imagination. This is not something that I've conjured up or made up just to have something to preach to you. This, what I am talking to you about, is something that God designed. This is something that God desired. Now, you know, we think of desires and we think of God, but we don't think of God in the aspect of God desiring something. He's omnipotent, He's omnipresent, He's omniscient. Now, how can an omniscient, omnipresent God desire anything? But there is something that God desires, and what God desires is to see the fullness of the thing that was in His mind in the very beginning come forth in the end of time.
Amen.
Just so that you don't think that this is an hallucination. Paul said in his letters to the Romans, he said, that the creation was made subject to vanity. Let's read that. You keep your finger in Genesis chapter 1, but let us go to Romans, the 8th chapter. Praise the Lord. And we will read verse 19, chapter 8 of the Epistle to the Romans, written by Paul. And it says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature," right? Hallelujah. "Is what? Waiting for the manifestation of what?
The sons of God."
Now, it doesn't say that it's waiting for the sons of Bert. It doesn't say that it's waiting for the sons of Thomas. It doesn't say that it's waiting for the sons of Mark. It says that it's waiting for something that is divine in nature. Something that is above and beyond that human realm, but coming forth out of the realm that was human. Hallelujah. So it says that the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now that word creature includes anything and everything that was ever created by God in the beginning. That means that the trees out there are waiting for you. Jesus said that if the sons of men did not cry out to praise him, what would praise him?
The rocks.
The rocks. Hallelujah. I had a granddaughter. Oh no, it was a daughter-in-law who had a saying. She was always saying, "No rock is going to take my place. No rock is going to take my place." And I would have all of my children say that there is no rock that is going to or can take that position or that place of excellence. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. Come on, brethren. God had a plan in the very beginning. And in that plan that God had, in the plan that God had, there was going to be something that was going to come forth in the end of time that was going to do what verse 21 says. "Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from what? From the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Praise God. Can you say amen? How many of you want that position?
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of you are not too excited about it. All right. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 1. And it says, verse 25, "And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good." Hallelujah. But God wasn't finished. Hallelujah. God wasn't finished. There was something yet that God needed to create. And because God created man at the end of the day, doesn't mean that man was like a second thought or an afterthought. That God created everything in the first 5 to 6 days for the fact of the creation that he was going to bring forth that he called man. And it said, and God said, let us make man in what? Our image and in our likeness. Now, I don't know, maybe you have a different Bible than I have. But when I read my Bible, and when it says that there is something about me that is very much like God. Hello? There's something about me that is very much like God. Now, it isn't that I look like God. It isn't that God has these things that I call ears, or these things that I call hands, or these things that I call feet. But there is something about me that is very much, if not exactly, like God. And that something is that I was created as a three-part being. He is three parts: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Well, when God created me, He made me spirit, He made me soul, and He made me body. I am in three parts, and all of those parts, the two of those parts, are spiritual commodities. You understand the word commodity? They are spiritual substance. I can't see your soul. I can't see your spirit. I can see your body. Hallelujah. But your spirit and your soul is something that is abstract. Hallelujah. Now, by the Spirit, I can sense your soul.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. And your soul will manifest itself through your body.
Yes.
And by that manifestation, I can say, you have a soul.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So God made me in three parts so that there was a basis or a foundation on which He could work to bring to fulfillment the desire that He had for me to be like Him. Hallelujah. Now, when you read on there, He says, we will make Him in our image. So the image that I have is the three-part being complexity that I am. Hello, come on, give me some amens. Hallelujah. We have to understand what we have a potential to become. If I look in the mirror and all I see is me, I'm in trouble. Maybe your mirror is different. Maybe your mirror is different than my mirror. I look in the mirror and I see my father. I look in the mirror and I see my mother. I look in the mirror and I see my grandfather. And I look in the mirror and I see my grandma. And my great-grandfather and my great-grandma. Hallelujah. And none of them resemble God. There's nothing about God that is in them. Do you understand? You know, we're so proud sometimes of who we are. But when you get to investigating what you are, my goodness, sometimes it's better not to know. Huh? Better not to know who you are or what you came from. But the fact of the matter is, it says, in Adam we all died, we all sinned, and sin passed upon all men. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But you see, God had a plan in the beginning. He said, now, do you think just because when we look in the mirror and we see all of this heritage, huh, that God's plan doesn't work? Huh? Well, sometimes we do. We kind of think, where is God? But the fact of the matter is, it does work if we have the key by which we can open the lock. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So He said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let him have dominion. Well, he said them. Because when he created man male and female. Hallelujah. They were all mixed up together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he said, let them have dominion. Do you understand the word dominion?
Yeah.
Now, when he said dominion, he went through the list of everything that he created.
Yeah.
But the one thing that he didn't mention that is understood in the aspect of the word dominion was his own being. Hello? Adam had dominion, not only the fish, the sea, the beast, the trees, the wind, the waves, the rain, or whatever it was that was working in that. He also had the ability to have power over his own soul. Now you have to remember, Adam was not created and brought forth as a sin man. He was brought forth as a living soul. He was brought forth as a living soul. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. A living soul. And it was because of sin that he was driven out of the garden and he lost that position of life. Hallelujah. Now, in the losing of it, does that mean that it's lost forever?
No.
Good answer. Hallelujah. Absolutely not. Because remember, God had a plan. God had a plan in the beginning. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you think that God didn't know about the devil? Huh? Did he know about the devil? Did God know about the devil? Huh? Come on, answer me. Do you think God knew about the devil? Absolutely. He had to know. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omniscient. He knows everything. Isn't that right? So he had to know about the devil, right? And do you think that while he was over there walking with Adam and talking with Adam, he didn't know what the devil was doing?
He knew.
Do you agree with me? You agree that he knew what was happening? Then God must have had a plan. If he knew and he didn't do anything about it, he had to have a plan.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Hallelujah. What was the plan? Well, if you go over into Revelation, it's 21 or 22, it says that the Lamb, Jesus Christ, was what? Slain. From where? Before the foundations of the earth. So you see, God knew all along what Adam was going to do.
Amen.
God knew all along what Eve was going to do. And he made a provision for them before they did it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Come on. Hallelujah. Don't you understand what that means for you and I? God knew all along where you were going to be when you were born. He knew where you were going to be born, how you were going to be born, what you were going to be born under, what you were going to be born with, and he already had an answer to your problem.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. God. Hallelujah.
He already had a problem. He already had a way by which you could escape it. Not only could you escape it, but you could overcome it. You could destroy it.
Amen.
You could bring it down. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
You know, I come from a family that has a problem with alcohol. Quite frankly, most of my family were drunkards. And the first thing that God delivered delivered me of when I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, what he delivered me of was a spirit of alcohol. Hallelujah. But I was free.
Amen.
But my father was not free.
Hallelujah.
He was 60-some years of age at that time. He had been drinking whiskey for maybe 40 years of his life. Huh? He almost died three times because of alcohol. Huh? And still he could not stop drinking. I want to tell you something. When I broke the power of alcohol over my life, when I destroyed the hold that spirit had upon my soul, I destroyed the spirit. My father stopped drinking.
Amen.
My children have not had to deal with the alcohol issue. Now, there's other things that they have to deal with, but that spirit was broken. That spirit was destroyed as far as my family was concerned. Why? Because God said, I am able to have dominion.
Hallelujah.
I am able to exercise my position of authority against that spirit that is tempting me. I can rise up in the spirit, by the spirit, and rebuke it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now that doesn't mean that you aren't tempted, because you will be tempted. You will be pushed. You will be poked. You will be provoked. But if you stand and you call upon the blood of Jesus Christ, that blood that was slain now from the foundations of the earth and was manifested at Calvary. You want me to tell you the power the blood has? It's written in the Bible. You see, when the children of Israel were in bondage, God called a man called Moses. Huh? And the blood had not yet been shed in actuality. When Moses died, now he knew the power of the blood. Moses knew the power of the blood. Now this is before Jesus came and Jesus died, understand? But Jude tells us that there was a contention over Moses' body. That's what Jude tells us. Right? Do you know your scriptures?
Yes.
Huh? And Michael said to the devil, the Lord rebuke you.
Amen.
And the devil had to let the body of Moses go. Do you understand? Because of the position of the blood covenant. Now, what power do you think that you have when you can have the blood or the access of the blood because of what happened on Calvary? Huh? And the power or the energy of life that is called God that was in the blood. You see, there's a principle here that it says, God told the children of Israel that they were not to eat the blood. Huh? They were, because he said what? The life of the flesh is in the blood. Hallelujah. But what life do you think was in the blood of Jesus Christ?
Amen. Life of God.
Huh? It was God himself.
Amen.
It was the entity. This woman was inseminated by the Holy Ghost. Come on, brethren. Come on. There was no earthly participation here. No natural participation. And the child carries the blood of the Father. So, the life that was in God was in Jesus Christ, and when Jesus shed his blood, you know, they went to great effort to make sure that all of his blood was drained from his body. And when that blood came forth out of his body, the energy or the life that was in it was released. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It was released. Hallelujah! It was so powerful that there was earthquakes. Graves begin to shake. Tombs begin to open. And people begin to walk out. What do you think happens when you accept the blood? There's an earthquake. There's an earthquake. There's an earthquake. Your earth and the earth that you are planted in, your environment, begins to shake and quiver. Hallelujah. And the ground splits. And out of that piece of humanity comes a life that is called God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Glory to God. The Bible tells us that God does not desire to dwell within the buildings or things that we call churches or buildings. He doesn't desire to dwell in those types of edifices. What he wants to dwell in is what? He wants to dwell in you. Why then do we shake and quiver, and why do we become fearful when we are confronted with wickedness or the aspect of humanity that is around us, when we have the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God inside of us?
Hallelujah.
Come on. God down there somewhere.
That's right.
There's God down there somewhere, sister.
Amen.
Huh? Omnipotent. Omnipresent. Omniscient God. All-powerful God. All-powerful God. He says, he that raised Christ Jesus from the dead will what? What will he do? Dwell in you.
Hallelujah.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The totality of God, brother, is in you.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We have all of this power inside of us. And we know nothing about it. We know nothing about it. We walk around like this. Huh? Are we, oh my, oh me, oh devil's doing this, devil's doing that. And all the time, you've got it inside of you. Not the devil, per se, but God. Huh? Now, God wants you to begin to exercise yourself in the Spirit. And to release God. Now, what we do and how we do that is a process, and very hopefully we will be able to outline it and give it to you so that you will be able to begin to utilize it and practice it and become what it is that God wants you to be.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And you know, you don't know what God's going to do. And he said, let us make man in our image, in the image of him. He said, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all creeping thing, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them. But the process had not yet that the promise had not yet come to a place of fullness. It had not come to a place of completeness, because the only thing that we see here that God created was the image. It had the potential. Hello? It had the potential to become, but it had to begin to move in a manner or fashion to bring forth that revelation that was in the heart of God. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and to multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So we can see that God had a plan in the very beginning to bring forth a reproduction of Himself.
Amen.
Huh? And now when we go into the New Testament, we find the terminology that Paul uses in the Romans chapter about being sons of God. Hallelujah. But before there, let us go over into John. Turn with me to John chapter 1. Huh? John chapter 1. And I want to start at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Well, I don't know how familiar you are with the prophetic word, but I have a word for you, sir. You, yes. For surely the Lord has called you. No, you can stay right there. You don't have to come up here. Surely the Lord has called you. He has put His hand upon you. There is a desire that is in the heart of God that you would rise up in the Spirit and that you would begin to open your heart unto Him, that your understanding can be expanded. And not only can it be expanded, but there is an experience that God has for you in Him that is going to lift you up and give you an insight into the reality of what it is that is in God that is in you. There is something that is in you that God has put in you, and it's called hunger. And it's hunger for the things that pertain to righteousness. You look to the right, you look to the left, you've looked around, but you have not found it because you're looking in the wrong places. God wants you to look to Him, look to His Word, hear with your ears the things that are being broken and the bread that is being given. Partake of it, eat it, and let it be assimilated within your being, and surely you will find the door that will lead you to the thing that you are looking for. God says that He is waiting for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So turn with me to the first chapter of John. Praise the Lord. First verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I think that one of the reasons that John talks about in the beginning is so that you might know that he's talking about what God was talking about in the beginning. He's reminding you that God had a plan in the beginning. Huh? He had a purpose in the beginning, and John was very much aware of what that purpose was. And John was very much aware of how you and I were supposed to get there. So he's giving us that understanding. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the things made by Him, without Him, and without Him was not anything that was made. Come on, we're talking about a spiritual environment. We're talking about everything in the natural being a representation of something in the Spirit. when the blind man was touched by Jesus Christ, huh? What did he say? He asked him, what do you see? Mm-hmm. What did he say? I see men
like trees.
As trees walking. The scripture says in Isaiah, I believe it is, isn't it? Trees of righteousness, what? Planted by the waters of, by the living waters? Huh? Ezekiel. So, trees are a shadow of righteous men. Huh? Hello?
Psalm 1 also.
Now, it also says that it talks about God having wings of an eagle. Now, I don't think God really has eagle wings, but I think God is telling us of our ability to soar in the height of the heavenlies. You know, I did a study one time on eagles. You know what an eagle is? Those big birds. I saw one somewhere. Where did I see that? It was in the hotel in... where do we come in? Manila. It was in the whole big eagle, bald eagle, the white head, you know, big eagle. And the Bible calls you and I eagle saints. We are to be like eagles. Eagles live high up in the highest part. And you know, they don't run from a storm. Did you know that? Eagles don't run and hide from a storm. They launch themselves off and they face into the storm. Huh? And then they catch the wind and they ride up over the storm. Hallelujah. So the Lord is telling us that the things in the natural are representation of the things in the spirit. Now, you don't have to take my word for it. It's in the Bible. In one of the Corinthian books that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, he said, first, what? The natural? Huh? And then what? The spirit. So, the spirit overshadowing the natural. And we're seeing the illusion of the thing in the natural that is a representation of that which is in the spirit. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You know, how can I use this information to overcome me? Huh? How can I use it? Well, I can use it by the fact that if I find myself getting angry, hallelujah, I can say, well now, so anger is not something that is compatible with the thought of what God is. So therefore there is a spiritual environment here that is working in my soul, and I can use my spiritual position of heritage, which is in Christ Jesus, to overcome it. Hallelujah. John says we can use the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And it says all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was in the world. That covers everything, right? Huh? God made everything. I have a question to ask you. The Bible says that God walked with Adam. Did you hear me? Did you understand what I said? The Bible says that God walked in the cool of the evening. He walked with Adam. God in Adam, taking a walk through the garden. Huh? You got the picture? Huh? God and Adam walking through the garden. What do you think they were talking about? Huh? What do you think God would be talking to Adam about? Would he be talking to him about the fish, the trees, the rocks, the stone, the dirt? Would he be talking to them about those things he created like that, you know? Or do you think he was talking to Adam about God things? Huh? The things that were on God's heart. The desire that God had for Adam to come up to a position, a place of authority and excellence. What do you think that he was doing? Telling him some of the secrets, maybe, huh? Of how to overcome this, and how to move in that, and how to create this, and how to create that. I want to tell you something. That garden was over 500 square miles. One man taking care of the whole thing. You know, I know what it is to have a big garden. I do. Huh? I've had a big garden. And I can't take care of it by myself. And it's not even near as big as that one was. Huh? There was something of a spiritual position, a spiritual play, a spiritual work. Hallelujah! That he was doing. My goodness. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And it says, in him, that's Jesus Christ, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Hallelujah! All right, let me go down to verse 12. No, let's go back up a little bit. He was in the world. Jesus was in the world. But it says that the world knew him not. Hallelujah. He was in the world, but the world knew him not. Even though the world was made by him, it did not know him. It says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. It means he came unto the Jews, and the Jews crucified him. Huh? Hallelujah. And they received him not. But as many as received him, to them he did what? Gave them power to do what? Become sons of God. Does your Bible say the same thing as mine says? Now, if you don't believe it, if you don't believe it's true, tear it out of your Bible. Take it out of your Bible. Throw it in the trash can. Huh? If you don't believe it, tear it out of your Bible and throw it in the trash can. It's in the Bible. I have to do something with it. I have to do something with it if it's in the Bible. Now, have you ever heard the story of the thin Bible? Huh? Do you know what I mean when I say thin Bible? Right? Huh? A thin Bible. Hallelujah. Thin versus fat. You ever hear the story of the thin Bible? Huh? Not yet.
You're going to tell.
Well, there was this man, and he would go to church, and the pastor would preach, and the pastor would say, well, this is not for this time. This was for the time of the disciples. So the man would just take it out of his Bible. Because it wasn't for his time. And every Sunday he would come to church. And every Sunday the pastor would say something about something in his Bible not being for this time. Well, by the time the man got through, one day he was walking out the door. He had had a fat Bible, but now he had a skinny Bible. You We now had a skinny Bible. And the pastor says, I've been noticing that your Bible keeps getting smaller and smaller. He says, yes, pastor, because you said that nothing in here works. So if it doesn't work, I don't need it. Why should I carry this around when I can carry this around? So if it's in your Bible, if it's in your Bible, it has to be something for you and for me. It has to be something that works. It has to be something that is attainable. I cannot look at and read this Bible and believe that it's written in there and it's not written for me. Hallelujah. Because I know when Jesus said he was the light, that lighteth every man.
Yeah.
I know of the light that lighted this man. Hello? Yeah. I was down in the hole. I was down in the gutter. My soul was going to hell. I was bound in anger, frustration, depression, alcohol, cigarettes. Hallelujah. I was bound. I was going to hell. I was a dead man sliding at supersonic speed into hell. And God met me. The light shone. The light confronted me. The light moved in my life. The light brought the face of Jesus Christ. And it lifted me out of that pit. Lifted me out of that hole. Hallelujah. And it set my feet upon a rock that is called Christ.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
If that is true, why can't the rest of it be true?
Yes.
If God can do that for me, why cannot God do the rest of what it says that He wants to do? You know, I've been lied to. They said I had to wait. You're human. You know, you're created human. And you'll always be human. And you'll die human in order to be glorified. But Jesus Christ says that He did not come to save me, to fill me with the Holy Ghost, so that I could die and be perfect. That's not what He said. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus Christ did not say that. He said, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Hallelujah. But I am so much aware of my imperfections. Hallelujah. That God has to come to me and take me step by step, step by step, step by step into a place or position where I can be able to understand and grab hold of the reality of what is in Him is for me right now.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It says, but as many as receive Him. First qualification is that I have to receive Him.
Amen.
I have to open my heart.
Amen.
I have to open my soul. I have to allow Him. I have to ask Him, God, come into my life.
Amen.
I am a sinner, most miserable. And you know something? I'm always having to do that. Because it seems like the devil knows what my weaknesses are, and he's always pushing that weak button. So I have the blood to come before the Father to be cleansed. He says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become sons. You have the power.
Amen.
You have the power.
Amen.
You have the power.
Amen.
You have the power to become something other than what you are. You have the power to overcome the aspect of what you are in the natural. You have that power.
Amen.
If you have received Him, you have the power.
Amen.
But the devil doesn't want you to believe it.
Amen.
You believe it, he's finished. He's done. He's true. Huh? You know, the devil doesn't like us. The devil really doesn't think too much about us. He was there in the garden when God was creating man out of the muck and out of the mire. God was creating him. It says that we were created a little lower than the angels. So the substance of which we are created of was less than what he in the beginning was. Do you understand? So he really doesn't think too much about us. And you know something? He has every right to think so little of us because we have not shown him anything different. Generation after generation, we have been subject to the spirits that are around us and the heritage that we have been born with. We have bowed down to it. We have worshipped it. We have submitted to it. How time and time and time and time again we have capitulated. We have given up, thrown in the towel. Hallelujah, so to speak. So the devil has a right to think so little of us. But there is a people. There is a people that have an ear to hear something that is being sounded in the heavenlies. There's a trumpet that is blowing, do you hear me? That is proclaiming liberty. Liberty from the position of bondage. Liberty from the position of your captivity. Liberty from the position of your heritage. Liberty from that position of ancestral worship. Glory to God. You know, there is a cry for enlistment. When I was a young man, we had the Army and the Navy and all of that, and you had to serve your time in the Army or the Navy. Well, you could do it two ways. One way, you could be drafted. They would come and they say, "I want you, come." And the other way, you could go and you could say, "I want to be in there." Huh? Well, the Sons of God message, the Sons of God availability, hallelujah, is not something that somebody comes and drags you into. This is something that you have to determine you want. This is something that you have to determine that you need. This is something that you have to determine is something that is for you. Hallelujah. And then you make the decision to go into the thing that God wants for you. But I want to tell you something. Devil's going to resist you every step of the way. He's going to fight you. He's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to disqualify you. Hallelujah. Why? Because you are enemy number one. Do you hear me? You are enemy number one. Hallelujah. Why should he waste time on all of these people out here who say they are Christians and they're living in the world like sinners? Why should he waste time when you have a desire to get a hold of him and to throw him down, to cast him down?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you have the power. I have the power. We have the power. Now, let me tell you something. The Bible says if one could put 1,000 to flight, two can do what? Put 10,000 to flight. So, what weapon will the devil use to keep you from having that position of authority? What weapon? It's called division. Separation. Yes, division. You could also, if you know the word, you could also call it sectarianism. Yes. Huh? Or denominationalism. Yes. Huh? Yes. Hallelujah. If I can bring a wedge between you two, then I have succeeded in reducing your capacity to damage me. Huh?
Yes.
So you have to be aware of the fact of what what it is that the enemy is going to do and how he's going to do it, and you need to do just the opposite. Huh? I want to tell you something. Husbands and wives are a very important commodity in the business of God. Husbands and wives are supposed to be microcosm. Do you know what microcosm is? Did you understand the word microcosm? It's a miniature example of what you could see big. All right. We have a church, right? Many people. But the husband and wife are a small, minuscule representation of that. So what happens in the home should be happening in the church. Hello? And division in the home is where the devil works. Division between the man and the woman. Division between the children and the parents. All of these things working to bring division and separation. Hallelujah! We have men. Men have a certain mentality as far as women are concerned. That is not godly. Hello? Come on. Am I stepping on your toes? I hope so. Men have a mentality of women. That is not a godly mentality. Oh no! Sometimes they're treated like property. Sometimes they're treated like you would treat your herds or your goats or your cows, something that you own. Huh? Come on. Hallelujah. When it was said that God took something out of Adam, hallelujah, that was as much as Adam could be, and yet it was Eve. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I can go home now, I think. You know, I have been back and forth across the world. I've never been on this side of the world. This is my first time on this side of the world. I hope that it's not my last, but you never know. And I've been to Africa a number of times. I've been to India. I've been to Europe. And I know how men and women are. And the men and women in the States, they're the same as the men and women in Europe. They're the same as the men and women in India, the men and women in Africa. And God knows, the same as the men and women in the Philippines. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We are not supposed to know each other after the flesh. My wife is not something that I own. My wife is not something that has been given to me that she might wait on me and do whatever it is that I don't want to do. Hallelujah. My wife was made to walk alongside of me. She's as much a part of the ministry, as much a part of my life, much a part of my existence as I am before God. And when God looks at me, He sees my wife. And when God looks at my wife, He sees me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. There's a position of honor and respect. Amen. My God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. How can we call ourselves Christians, much less sons of God, if our homes are so out of order? My goodness.
Is this time for all me?
It could be. Could be an old me. Huh? Hallelujah. You know, we have been brought up in the devil's school. We've been brought up in the devil's school. We have been indoctrinated with the devil's theology. Do you hear me?
Amen.
We've been indoctrinated with the devil's theology. We're more demon than we are human. We're more devil in our thinking than we are human. Hallelujah. Because the devil have been overshadowing the race of man for 6,000 years. But in the midst of that darkness, there is something that is being spoken. As it was spoken in the time of the beginning, when it says God looked over into the abyss, that hell thing that was called world, and said, "Let there be light."
Amen. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
I want to tell you something. If you get a hold of this word and you start going for it, you better batten down the hatches. You know what to do when they batten down the hatches? You know what I mean by batten down the hatches? Probably not.
Get ready for the storm.
It's a ship out in the ocean. And a storm is coming. And so they close down all of these hatches. And they belt them down. And they take the things that are loose on the deck and they tie them down. Hallelujah. Because they don't want anything slipping and sliding and flowing around and killing a lot of people. Hallelujah. When the storm goes or comes and that boat begins to rock and that things begins to shake. My God. Hallelujah. If you want to grab a hold of this message, you better batten down your hatches, Holy Ghost style. Hallelujah. And you better mean what it is that you are meaning in your heart to have what it is that God wants to give you, because the storm is coming. But we can rejoice in the midst of the storm, because you know what? You might have an opportunity just to see Jesus walking on the water. You might have that opportunity to be in the boat and he's sleeping there right there in the back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that? The Son of God was all the time in the boat and the disciples were afraid they were going to drown. They didn't believe that he was the Son of God. You don't believe that you have the Son Spirit within you. You have to believe it. You have to believe that it's something that is made for you. You have to believe that it's something that is available to you. You have to believe it. You have to reach forth in the Spirit, grab a hold of it, and wrestle it down like Japheth wrestled with the angel. He said, "I'm not going to let you go until you do what? You bless me." But when he blessed him, he came out dragging that leg. His walk was changed. He was a changed man and he had a new name.
Amen.
I want a new name. It says there's a name written in heaven that no man knoweth, but he that writeth it knoweth it. Hallelujah. And it's that nature that is within me that he is forming and shaping and bringing to a place of fruition, that one day I'm going to walk like Enoch, right out of Asbel into Christ.
Yeah.
Why do you think there was an Enoch? Huh? There was an Enoch because God wanted to demonstrate the reality of what you could do in the natural realm. It says that Enoch walked with God like Adam.
Amen.
Walking with God in the garden. Walking and talking with God. Walking and talking with God. Don't you want to walk and talk with Him?
Yeah.
Don't you want to have that fellowship? He had so much fellowship that he got translated. It says that Enoch walked with God and was not. What happened? How happened? Enoch, by faith, split the atoms of time and space, walked out of the natural right into the Spirit. Why? So you don't tell you and me it's there, it's available, it's something attainable, you can have it if you want it. Huh? You know, I've seen young people study to achieve a goal. They want to be an engineer. They want to be a doctor. Study, study, study. Pour their lives into their books year after year after year to attain a crown, to attain something that is only good for a certain length of time, and then they get old and they die and they pass away. How much more should we be working in that aspect and with that fervor and with that tenacity to obtain something that is eternal?
All right.
Hallelujah. But you have to believe.
Amen.
The Bible says all things are possible to them that believe. Huh? If you believe. And if you don't believe, you have a remedy. The centurion came to Jesus and asked for something that Jesus should do. And then Jesus asked him, "Do you believe?" He says, "Lord, I believe. How about my unbelief?" There was an admission. There was a position of repentance. Hallelujah. And in that position, that place, he got what he wanted. God moves. God will move in your set of circumstances. It says, many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Hallelujah. Which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You know, I don't really believe that the church really knows what they have in the aspect of what it means to be born again. That means I am no longer in that arena or have that position or right, but I am something else now. I'm something else different that is not compatible to what I was. Why then am I always hauling what I was with me into what I am now? You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because I don't believe it. I don't understand it. I don't fathom the reality of it. Huh? It's easier for me to believe in Thomas than it is to believe that God is standing right there beside Thomas. But yet, it says that we are surrounded about with a great cloud of witnesses. That means that James, John, Peter, Paul, and those saints that have gone on before, they're all right here, possibly. All around us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But we don't believe it. We can't see it. We can't touch it. We can't smell it. Huh? But if we were to believe, who knows what would happen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have to believe. We have to come to a position or a place where we are able to believe what God says is what God will do and what God will be. Do we believe that we have a position, a right, an inheritance? Hallelujah. To them that believe Him, He gave them power to become sons of God. Turn with me over to Romans. Hallelujah. And I want to reread this verse again that I read earlier. But first I want to go over to the first part of the chapter. For there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you don't want condemnation, you have to be out of flesh and in spirit. And if you're in condemnation, that means you have a tool to understand where you are standing. You are in the flesh. Well, the remedy to that is to get out of the flesh and into the Spirit. Hallelujah. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What that means for me is that I was born an Asbill. That's my last name, Asbill. I was born an Asbill. Hallelujah. But when Christ came, when Christ breathed upon me, when Christ liberated me, He just didn't save my soul. He delivered me from Asbill. But I have to know it, and I have to believe it, and I have to work with God against that thing that is called Asbill. Huh? I cannot have Asbill in Christ.
Amen.
No partnerships. No partnerships. No partnerships. No partnership. I can't be Asbill here and Christ here. Huh? It's impossible. John said, I must what? Decrease. Asbill has to decrease. And Christ must do what? Increase. And the more Christ increases, the less of Asbill that I see. The less of Asbill that I am. The less of Asbill do I behave. And the more of Christ I get, till one day, Asbill just disappears. It says, this is it then, when it says, darkness is what? Swallowed up by light. Right? Isn't that what the Bible says? Huh? Hallelujah. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. Free hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You know, we were born with a terrible temper. Nobody else would have a temper. We were born with a terrible temper. And we were told that's who we were. That's what we are. You are human. When I found Christ, Christ said, Temper not allowed. Temper not something you can have and be me. Not the way that I have it. The Bible says that you can be angry, but you're not to sin. Try being angry and not sinning.
Doesn't work very well.
So I have to begin to fast and pray. I have to begin to fast and pray. God, you see this temper. You see this agitation, irritation. You see how my soul just boils. God, deliver me from this spirit. Deliver me from this devil. Deliver me from this thing that takes over my mouth, takes over my face, takes over my body. God, I don't want to be in possession of this demon. I don't want it anymore. Huh? Fast and pray. Pray and fast. And the more I fast, the more situations I was in that I was always being provoked, always being pushed, always being poked, always being coming to the edge. And I would sometimes lose it, but I'd come back again. And God would forgive me, brush me off, pick me up, and set me back into the pot or in the fire again. To one day, huh? Hallelujah! One day, there was a breaking, there was a snapping, and the thing no longer had the power over my soul that it used to have. Huh? Something happened. I lost something. Something of my Asbill heritage was gone. Hallelujah! Glory to God! You have the power. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You know, as a young man, I was such a wretched man, such a wretched fellow. I had to just fast and pray and pray and fast all the time. All the time. Because every time I would stop fasting, I would find a new problem. I would find a new weakness, another thing that I had to deal with. So back into fasting, back into praying, down before the Lord, and God changing my soul little by little, liberating me from the law of sin and death that were in my members. Romans 6:16 says, to whom you yield your members servants to obey. His servants ye become. And then it says, do not yield your members. We're talking about your body, your mind, your emotions, your desires. It's talking about those aspects of your soul. It says, do not yield those things to those things that bring death and desolation, but yield them to the things that bring life and liberty. This is the battleground right here. This thing called the brain. This is the battleground. This is where I have to work to bring forth the revelation of liberty. For the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Praise the Lord. I am going to stop right there. Praise the Lord. I trust that I have given you something to chew on. God bless you.